going to begin tonight in Philippians chapter 1 and work through some passages and eventually wind up in Colossians 3, but we're going to start in Philippians 1. I am looking forward to Tuesday night myself, since Roy said cookies. And I don't know anybody that can make a really unbelievable banana cake, but if you know anybody that can. Who? I didn't know that. I had no idea. Just kidding. Not putting pressure on anybody. That's just my way of complimenting is all that is. The love of all is good. That's amazing, isn't it? I tell you what. God invites us to share in what the Bible refers to as eternal life. In fact, the invitation is sent through His Son. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. So there's the invitation. Whosoever will, let him come. Revelation 22:17. And the idea is that we can share in this life that's referred to as everlasting, which is an abundant life, as we've been talking about. John 10:10. We share in this life with God by the continual process of identifying with and walking with and becoming more and more like His Son. Does that make sense? In other words, what does it mean to accept this invitation to eternal life? Well, there are a lot of things we could talk about. Initial obedience to the gospel and so forth. But what God's calling us to do is to cooperate with Him so that we can become more as He is, and we become more as He is as we more and more are conformed, Romans 8:29, into the image of His Son. The more and more we possess what we read this morning or mentioned, the more and more we possess the mind of Christ, Philippians 2:5. And so, as children of God, we ought to have a desire to share in those items that the Bible describes as Christ's life. In other words, whatever typified Jesus' life, whatever we see in His doings while He was on earth, we seek to emulate that at least as closely as possible, more and more every day. What it means to follow Jesus. To walk as He walked, 1 John 2:6. To live as He lived, again, to the best of our ability. We always fall short, though, don't we? But still, that's the aspiration, and then we realize that one day we'll reach completion, and we will be everything God has in mind for us. But we'll say more about that in just a few minutes. If I were to ask you, who perhaps was the greatest Christian to ever live? Now, there might be some disagreement, some debate about that. If I'm talking biblically, don't begin, thinking, well, he may be talking about me tonight. You just never know. Biblically speaking, some particular character, and probably most of us would say it's likely, it certainly could be argued that the Apostle Paul was the greatest Christian to ever live. As far as what he was able to accomplish, in a sense that the world knows about it. Writing perhaps at least approximately half the New Testament, when you begin to look at the letters that were penned by him, the example that he set, the wisdom that now has been passed down to us because of his great work as an apostle and as a teacher to the Gentiles. 1 Timothy 2:6 is how he's described in that one. But I want us to think about Philippians 1 for a moment. Paul's desire, more than anything else, his one desire really, was to engage in what we've talked about already. To enjoy the abundant life that's found in Christ by emulating the life of his Savior, the life of his Lord Jesus. Paul was always about the business of trying to live in such a way that others would see Christ in him, the hope of glory. He even uses that phrase in Colossians 1:27 to describe what's true of all of us, if indeed Christ is in us. And so when you look at Philippians chapter 1, if you start in verse 19, we see Paul start to describe this desire that he has. And this is the word that I want you to think about. The desire that he had to share with Christ in all things. To partner with Christ in all things. To emulate Jesus in such a way, again, that others would look at Paul and say, when I see Paul, I am reminded of all that Jesus taught and I'm reminded of the character of Jesus himself. Paul he walked so closely to him that in a lot of ways to see Paul was to see Christ, because even Paul would say, be imitators of me, even as I imitate Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. So let's kind of hold on to that. Look at verse 19. Paul said, I trust that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He's talking about his imprisonment here and some of the things that were going on in his life while he was indeed imprisoned in Rome, and that's when he wrote this letter to the Philippians. And then look at verse 20. He said, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so Christ will be magnified, or may be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. I want us to look at the idea of Christ being magnified in the body. When Paul says that, what's he talking about? For Christ to be magnified in his body, whether by life or by death, he's saying at this juncture, in my life, I'm in prison. But what I hope is this. Whether I live, others will note that my life intertwines with Jesus and all that I do in my living. Or if I should die, be put to death, I hope others will see in my death even the death of Christ. No matter what's going on in my existence, I hope that Jesus will be seen. And then what does he say in verse 21? Famous verse. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. We think of a magnifying glass as something that makes bigger, makes something larger, makes something conspicuous so that all can see it. Paul said, whether I live or die, this is what I want others to see Christ. Well, how could that be made possible? Paul would have to choose to walk with him, share with him in those things that Jesus valued and I want to use another word, but it's not coming to me. The things that Jesus taught and the example he set, Paul would have to embrace those things, and then others indeed would see Christ in the kind of way that Paul had in mind. So you look at that, here's the idea of sharing again, right? With Christ, and this is Paul's desire. This is what he wants. That's passage number one. Now turn over to chapter 3, and I want us to look at verses 10 and 11. In verse 7 of chapter 3, Paul describes how the things that he used to value, all of the things he accomplished in Judaism. He said that once he became a Christian, he counted those things as rubbish. What things were gained to me, these I've counted lost for Christ. Then the next verse, I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes by God through faith. In other words, he's saying, since becoming a Christian, and in becoming a Christian, I've always sought to enjoy all the blessings that come through Christ and Christ alone. And then he talks about his main desire there in verse 10. What does he say? If you were to ask Paul, what do you want? What do you desire more than anything else? Verse 10, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Jesus was raised. I want to be raised like him and know the power that raised him up, that can indwell in me and enable me and raise me up in the last day. I want to know this, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. What's he talking about there? I'm willing even to be persecuted and to be treated horribly for the sake of what's right, just as Jesus was. Power of his resurrection, fellowship of his sufferings, to the point even being conformed to his. Now let me ask you, is that not basically saying the same thing that we read in Philippians 1:20, Christ magnified in the body, whether by life or by death? Same thing. Paul, what's your desire? Christ be magnified in my body and everything. Paul, what do you want more than anything else? That I might identify with and share with all those things that Christ engaged in and did and suffered and felt and experienced. I want to walk so closely with him that, again, to see him is to see me, and to see me is to see him. I don't think I'm off base in that, drawing those conclusions. Do you? Now let's think about Paul's life. He said, I want to know, in verse 11, he says, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead, I need this process of becoming more and more like Jesus, so I'll be ready when that time comes when I can move into glory itself. And he talks about verse 13 about how this striving was the one thing that he did. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And then the next verse he says, if you're mature, think like this. All of us ought to have the same sort of a mindset to want to share with Christ, identify with Christ, become more like Christ. Now let's walk ourselves from this point to the end of Paul's life. What New Testament epistle marks the last letter that Paul wrote before he died? Anybody remember? 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Now I want to look at chapter 1 and verse 12, and then we'll move over to Colossians 3, and then into Ezekiel 37, then over to Isaiah chapter 12, then we'll move into Genesis 4. No, we won't look at any of those passages. Just we'll stop in Colossians here in a minute. But you forgot, I'm sorry. I shouldn't kid like that, should I? 2 Timothy 1, just here's what we find. Paul comes to the end of his life. Now let's think about, what did he want? What did he desire? What did he strive for? Share with, to identify with Jesus in every way. In everything that he did in life. And even he said, should I die, I want to die in him. I want to experience the same sort of righteous death that Jesus did, if need be. And so we come to 2 Timothy 1 in verse 12. He writes the last letter before he appears before Nero a second time. History says he was beheaded about AD 68. And he talks about the things he was suffering and how he wasn't ashamed. He says, for I what? 2 Timothy 1:12. Is that not 2 Timothy 1:12? For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until or against that day. Now let's think about this. Oh, what do you want to know more than anything else? What do you want to experience more than anything else? What are you trying to accomplish? That I may know him. Walk so closely with him that it's hard to tell the difference between the two of us. He comes to the end of his life. He writes his young protege and he says, Timothy, you know what? I have known him. What does he mean by that? I have lived as Christ. I have followed his teaching. I have embraced his way of life. I have put him first. I have preached his word. And now I'm going to die. Christ has been magnified in my body. And now, not only has it taken place in life, but it's about to take place in death. And so he says, as we've seen so often at the end of the book, I have fought the good fight. I have, not looking forward to, but I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. 2 Timothy 4. And then he speaks of that crown of life that awaits him in verse 8. So when we look at Paul's life, and we think of this idea of being able to share with, share in, identify with who Jesus is, this abundant life. If anybody lived it out before us in a way where it's recorded and we can look at it and say, that is a sterling example of what it's about. It's the Apostle Paul. Now let me ask you this. How did he get there? What allowed him to get there? His desire. Now, not his desire alone. He had to cooperate with God. And as we talked about this morning, God worked in him and through him. And God opened doors and God was involved in every aspect of his life. But he wanted it. So he came to the end of his life and he got it. All right? Now, this is where we take all the pieces and wrap them up. Colossians 3. And I won't make any jokes with 17 other scripture references. Colossians 3. Now, here's what I want to ask you. How are you doing in this process of sharing with Christ? identifying with Him. Now you're thinking, oh, He's about to make us all feel guilty. I'm not here to make you feel guilty. I'm here to encourage you, because I think you might be surprised, if you are in Christ, by God's grace, you might be surprised what you are now presently enjoying with Him, what you have enjoyed with Him, and what you will enjoy with Him. Okay? And so, the Apostle Paul was called to be the Apostle Paul. Not everybody is called to be an apostle in that sense. Not everybody was uniquely gifted in that sense. I am called to be me, and you are called to be you. And whatever that involves, as far as God's plan is concerned for your life and His will, all we have to do, I have to do, you have to do, is choose to walk that path, to desire, to trust, and then God will take us as far as He has in mind, won't He? Can we believe that? Can we know that that's true? So let's don't think, okay, I've got to be like the Apostle Paul. You can't be. You're not going to be. You weren't meant to be. But the process is still true. And as a Christian, there's some things that we want to look at just to close this down and, again, hopefully encourage us regarding the little phrase, with Him. Paul, what do you want? I want to know Him, and that means I need to walk with Him. Here's some things that at present, in the past and in the future, you're already experiencing to a degree, one way or the other. Maybe you have, you are, and you shall. Here's what I mean. Colossians 3. Verses 1 to 4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. That's verse 1, isn't it? Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Some versions say affections. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. If you read down through there, you'll see that little phrase I just mentioned several times, with Him. Okay, there's some implications that all have to do with this life we're now living, striving for Christ to be magnified in our body, to share, to identify with Him. If you look at verse 1, notice that something, if you're a Christian, happened in the past. There's actually one explicit thing referenced in verse 1, and there is an implicit thing that it looks back to even that we read about in Colossians. Here's what happened to you in the past, where you identified with Jesus and you chose to follow along in His example. And we have to go back a chapter to find it, to then see the explicit statement in chapter 3. Look at verse 12 of chapter 2 and think about this phrase, if then you were raised with Christ. What does that imply? If then you were raised, what's the implication? Verse 12 of chapter 2. Buried with Him, there's that phrase, in baptism, right? Through faith in the operation of God who raised Him from the dead. Here's the implication. You can't have a raising, a resurrection, unless you have a burial. Okay? And so in Colossians 2, Paul says, buried with Him in baptism, through faith in the working of God. Why were we baptized into Christ? With Him. Because we believe that in so doing, our faith was, faith in the working of God, our belief was that in submitting to that process, we would identify with Jesus in that He died and was buried. When we go down into the waters of baptism, we too die and are buried. Not in a physical sense, but spiritually we are then connected with Christ. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized with Christ Jesus, we're baptized into His death. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should be raised to walk in newness of life. That's Romans 6, 3 and 4, which is really a commentary on Colossians 2, 12 and Colossians 3, 1. When you stood before an assembly or maybe some particular day, you went somewhere and were baptized, you made that confession. And when you went down into that water, although it might have seemed like nothing unusual, there was a spiritual, mystical situation that was occurring, at least in the heavenlies. Nothing miraculous about it as far as going down in the water. But because of your heart and your willingness to submit and your desire to share with this thing known as Christ's life, when you went down into that water, you shared in Jesus' burial, in Jesus' death. You identified with Him in that. You became one with Him in that process. And so, in a sense, your knowledge of Him became real at that very moment. That I may know Him. What does that mean for Paul? Identify with Him. Be like Him. And when you went down into the water, that process started with Him. Buried with Him through baptism in the death. Colossians 2:12, buried with Him in baptism. There it is. So in the past, regarding this thing of sharing with Jesus that we're talking about, that life's supposed to be all about, here's what you've got going for you if you're a Christian. You have identified with Him. You have begun the process of knowing Him in that you were buried. That's in the past. But notice, we go back to Colossians 3 and verse 1. If then you were raised. In what other sense now have you identified with Christ in the past as a Christian? Having the same desire that Paul had for Christ to be magnified in your body and for you to know Him, whether you could have enunciated that just in that way, that's neither here nor there. But when you decided to become a Christian, in essence, that's what you were proclaiming, right? What does it mean that we have now been raised? If then you were raised with Christ. There it is again. That partnership, that partnering. With the resurrection comes a new life. A new life. Jesus went to the cross and was put to death on our stead. Him now we have redemption through His blood, right? Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. He went to the cross and died. They took down His body. And thankfully, men like Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took that body, and Joseph had a tomb which was new. No one had ever been laid in it. And they put Jesus in that tomb, and they rolled a stone where there was no outlet any longer. He was buried. We usually think of digging a hole, but that's not the only way to be placed in a coffin or in a tomb. He was buried. But on the third day, the hope of Christianity became a reality. That through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. How did He do that? He was resurrected. And that which was dead was now alive. We go down in the waters of baptism. We're buried with Christ. We identify with Him in that. We come up from those waters. We are raised. We are resurrected with Him. If then you have been raised with Christ. And on the other side of that is a new life. So you have identified with Him in this way. You have chosen to share with Him through this burial, this resurrection, but now you have a new life. And if you look at Colossians 3, do you see it described there anywhere? First four verses. For you died. See? You shared in Christ's death. You died to sin. You died, and your life is now hidden with Christ and God. What's this new life, and what does it mean, hidden with Christ and God? There's a lot of implications to it. We won't go into it in a lot of detail, but here's what it's all about. First of all, now there is a covering. There is an atonement that you have enjoyed. Your sins have been removed, covered, hidden. That's one thing. But then there's another thing. The old you is now hidden by this new identification. I no longer live for myself. What's this new life? I no longer live for myself. I used to do that, but now I try and I strive to walk with Christ for Him to be magnified in my body, to know Him, to partake of the life that God has in mind through Him. That's my new life, right? What did Paul say? For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians 2:20. That's the new life. Already, you have shared in this thing known as Christianity with Jesus. You've identified with his burial. You've identified with his resurrection. And now as you live for him, you identify with his life. You're doing pretty well. You say, well, I'm not perfect in it. Well, we'll get in line. All the rest of us are in that line. But you will be perfect in it. You say, when's that going to happen? Look at verse 4 of Colossians 3. You see, in the past, you shared with him in a burial and a resurrection. At present, you share with him in this new life. And in the future, you will share with him in glory. Wrap your head all around that for a moment. When Christ, who is, oh boy, your life. That's a strong, strong statement, isn't it? What does that imply? So many things. It means Christianity is not just something you do on the weekends. It's not a social club. It's not so you can maybe make business contacts or because that's what you've always known. It's about the embracing of a life. It's about becoming more like Jesus and entering into this relationship with God, this abundance by more and more being conformed to who he is. When Christ, who is now your life, appears, what's he looking forward to now as he looks down the stream of time? The coming of Jesus in the clouds. What happens then? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet, the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed, Paul says. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through the end of that chapter. There's going to be a moment in history where all things are going to be consummated, all wrongs will be righted, peace on earth, maybe not on earth per se, but peace as we've always wanted to experience it will be ours. And the Bible simply refers to that existence as glory, where God's glory is made known for all that it is, where we are changed so we can participate in it and share with him in it, because right now we're not in the right stead to do it. If God appeared in all his glory right now, we'd all die. But we're going to be changed. And then, let your imagination run wild. You know, some people think that when Jesus comes again or when heaven takes place, that we're all going to have these white gowns. We're going to be on clouds. And for some reason, all of us are going to be plucking a harp. I have no interest in that. That sounds maddening and boring to me. Now, I guess if it's God's cloud and God's harp, then it'd be okay, but that's not scriptural. Let your imagination run wild. Think of relationships that you enjoy now, thousands of times. Experiences that you have now that just, you know, you think, man, I got to do that again. Wasn't that great? Experiences that you have now, not even comparing to that place, that existence, that experience that never ends, and there's so much more. But that's what you'll share. And right now, in a prospective sense, it's already yours. Right now, you are already sitting with Christ in the heavenly places. Right now, you are already ruling and reigning with him. Right now, you are already in the kingdom. Right now, you already have eternal life. But then, you will share in it with him in a way that's based on experience and reality, and it'll be just as real as that right there. And it's yours. You thought I was going to make you guilty and tell you all you want to be like Apostle Paul, right? With him. That's what Paul wanted, to share with him, partake of him, become like him, know him. And you've already started the process, and you're in the middle of it now. And down the stream of time, somewhere, that beautiful isle of somewhere. Think about that. That'll cheer you up, right? That's it. We're done. The invitation song was announced earlier at the beginning of services, which is wrong. I leaned over and I said, he's out of order tonight. That's going to mess the whole thing up. But it's already been announced. The water's ready. If you'd like to become a Christian, everything's in place for you to do so through belief and baptism into Jesus. And so if that's your need, we'd love to help you as you start sharing with Him even this evening. Won't you come?
Gladness and light, Jesus, I